So I asked, was this the two-hour sermon spot? And someone said, well, you know, you just preach as long as you want to, but we leave at 11. Okay, so we'll just see how that turns out. But thank you so much, elders, for inviting me to come. Thank you, brethren here, for being so encouraging. And I remember last time being here, so hospitable and kind, and I appreciate that so very much. And glad I'm able to be back with you. And again, glad that my wife, Brother Larry, kept saying, now you know that you all can fly down here. He knows where we live, up in North Alabama. And my wife does not like to fly. So we flew down here in a car. And Saturday we'll be flying back home in the car to be back home with the brethren up in Anderson, Alabama. But I'm really appreciative for the fact of being here, and I'm glad she came with me, and looking forward to being with you all this week. So, we talked about faith this morning. Having faith in God is a very important foundational base for us to be transformed. And what we're talking about this week is not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So reading and studying God's Word, understanding God's Word, applying God's Word, living God's Word is all about the transformation process. And we're basing that on the Romans 12 and verse 2 passage, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So a couple of key words there, conformed, not to be fashioned like. The transformation is changing to another form. So what I hope to be able to do in our study this week is just to emphasize the importance of doing all that we can by what God has given us to not be like the world, but to be like God wants us to be. So we talked about faith this morning. Now I want to talk to you about a true heart change as a result of your faith growing. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 this morning. You may have noticed I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 1, he says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory." So here's how I see the process. So you read your Bible. You study your Bible. You learn what God wants in regards to your life. It changes your way of thinking. And one very important aspect of that change of thinking, not being like the world, but being like God wants us to be, transformed, you set your mind on things above. Now we live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. And it's very important that you learn that God wants your transformation of mind to be a process of there is something more important that takes precedent in your life than what's out there. Now, we still have to go out there. We live, we work, we associate with other people who are not Christians. But there becomes a transformation in your life as to priority of life. What's most important in your life? And every decision you make every day of your life will be based upon that setting of your mind. So let's study this passage a bit this morning, and I hope it will be obvious to you how it applies in using your faith. So if you're increasing your faith by reading your Bible, what's next? Set in your mind. You know, as New Testament Christians, we really do need to encourage each other. I think it's important that we all understand that each of us struggle from time to time. We need to help each other to keep on keeping on. Probably one of our most common consistencies is we're inconsistent. We talked a little bit about that in Bible class, how that we might get all fired up, New Year's resolution on January 1st, and we start reading our Bible, and then we give out about Leviticus or something there, you know. And we want to do good, and we can keep on keeping on for a bit, but then we don't. And we may start up again relatively quickly, but we just can't seem to keep it consistent. Somebody said the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm wondering if we really understand what the main thing is. That's what we're talking about. Your faith is growing. What's the main thing? Using your faith. Using your faith to the glory of God. We lose our focus. Whether it's world events, whether it's our country events, our state events, our local town events, family events, there are all sorts of things that happen where we lose our focus. I must say to you, I love our country. If you've ever been out of the country, been anywhere else in the world, you surely love your country. It's not perfect. And electing a man to be president or governor or mayor, there's some positives, there's some negatives. But brother and sister in Christ, it is God that rules over the affairs of mankind. Don't put your trust and confidence in men. Put it in God. God uses bad men to do good things. And there are good men that God has chosen that do bad things. You can lose your focus. You can watch CNN, Fox News, whatever you want to watch. And you can get so wrapped up in all of that, you forget the main thing. We get involved in the world. I'm not saying it's wrong to be concerned about the world and to be knowledgeable about the world, but that's not the main thing. You know, we attend services just a very few hours a week. Look at all the other hours that were out there. It's easy to become distracted. We're going to leave this building in just a few minutes. We're going to be back out there. What's guiding you? What's directing you? What have you set your mind on? We get busy with our lives. There's lots of things that we're involved with that in and of themselves are great things, good things. But we really need to be caring about our spiritual well-being. And I like to refer to it as just breathing spiritually. How long can you hold your breath and not pass out? 4, 5, 6, 10 minutes? Oh, you're talking 30 seconds maybe? How long do we go without breathing spiritually? How long spiritually can you hold your breath? You might say, well, I never thought about that. Well, how about thinking about it? Spiritual breaths is all about growing your faith and then breathing spiritually so that you can be the spiritual building, the spiritual person that you need to be. Someone says, you know, we are human beings and we have a spirit. It's quite the opposite. We are a spirit being that has a body. It's perspective. Your spirit is eternal. It's precedent. It takes precedent. It's primary, not your physical body. We concentrate on our physical bodies. Y'all can probably see that I go to the gym a lot and watch what I eat and everything. You're going to die of something. One fellow said, I really don't want to die healthy. I try to take care of myself. But we are going to die. But your spirit, who were choking of air spiritually, is going to live forever. Which one are you caring for most? Now don't go home and say, well, Salih said, I don't have to take my medication. I don't have to go to the gym. I don't have to work out. I eat anything I want. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that there are things that are more important than other things. So what is the main thing in your life? So I want to talk to you a little bit about this passage and try to break it down for you just a bit. If then you've been raised up with Christ, I think that's specifically a reference contextually back to Colossians 2, verses 12 through 13 about being baptized into Christ. He's talking about, well, if you're a Christian, if you've been raised up with Christ, you've been raised up with Christ? Maybe some of you are right here in this baptistry. The old man was put to death. You bury the old man who died to sin. And you're raised up to walk in newness of life. That's who he's talking about. Think about who you were. Think about what you've been. Think about now you're a Christian. Has anything changed in your life? I hope it has. Paul says, we've been forgiven of all. It doesn't matter if you committed 10,000 sins or you committed 100,000 sins. One sin will cause you to lose your soul. Through the blood of Christ, we've been forgiven all. So if then you've been raised up with Christ, he says, here's the thing. You need to keep seeking things above. Notice he says, you need to keep seeking things above. When did you start seeking things above? When you were raised up with Christ. People obey the gospel when they understand that the way they're living their lives is not getting them anywhere. People obey the gospel of Jesus Christ when they realize that becoming a Christian, being baptized into Christ, begins the journey of going toward where God is. So then, if you've been raised up with Christ, you keep seeking things above. Paul talked about the idea of seek or to look or to make efforts. You've got to be putting forth an effort to become a Christian. You've got to put forth more effort to remain a Christian. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus talked about the idea of what you seek, treasures or wealth here or in heaven. Storing up for yourself treasures. Well, how do you do that? Well, probably most of you have a garage. Probably most of you don't park your car in your garage because it's got a bunch of junk in it. And there's important junk in there. Stuff you hadn't seen in 10 years. It's really important to you. But you can't park your car in there because you got your junk in there. And that's important to you. Saw a little meme that said this older fellow, and evidently has his son or his grandson there with him, and he opens up this door and just piled full of the most unbelievable bunch of junk you ever seen in your life. And he turns and he looks at his son or his grandson and says, "You're going to inherit this one day." And I'm sure the son or the grandson is thinking, "Yeah, I'm just going to stick a match to it and it's going to be gone when you're gone." You know, we have treasures, we have things. And there's nothing wrong with having things or stuff. But when the Lord comes, it's all going to burn up. Now what you got? What you got in a savings account now? Jesus is talking about putting in a savings account that's going to be eternal. So what's the main thing in your life? Putting some more junk in your garage that you don't need? Again, I got junk too. Nothing wrong with junk. Especially when it's important junk. But if that is running, ruling your life, you're hoping on things that are of this earth. And it's not going to amount to anything. It's just for a season. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, you recall this story? To me, it's one of my favorite passages because it helps me to look at perspective. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, it's the story of Martha and Mary. Remember that story? Jesus comes to their house. And Martha's got to prepare some food. Because Jesus is there teaching, and there's a crowd of people there. They're all listening to Jesus teach. And Mary, Martha's sister, she's sitting down at Jesus' feet and listening. Martha's back there in the kitchen just, you know, working hard and doing this and doing that. And my guess is at some point in time, she was like Popeye. She had just taken all she could take and she couldn't take no more. So she went in. She disrupted Bible class. Think about that. She went in and disrupted Bible class with Jesus Christ doing the teaching. And she fusses. She says, "Lord, can you not get my sister to get in here and help me cook the beans and the taters?" And Jesus responds to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about so many things." The word worried is used in a couple of different ways. In the English, it's the idea of taking two horses and tying your arms and they go in different directions. That doesn't end well with you. The other one is choked. Being choked. That doesn't end well either. Martha, Martha, you are worried. You are being pulled in two different directions. Martha, Martha, you are choking. Mary has chosen a good thing. It shall not be taken away from her. What do you think Martha's next move was? The text doesn't say, does it? What do you think she did? If she had any sense, she would have sat down and shut her mouth and listened to what was most important. She may have turned and went back in the kitchen and started throwing stuff. I don't know what she did. But Jesus made it very, very clear that eating, is that important? That's an essential. Eating. If you never eat, you will die. But when it comes to priority, eating, an essential, or spiritual eating, Jesus said there's only one thing essential. Read the text again. Which one was he talking about? That's what I'm talking about this morning. You need to set your mind on this, that spiritual eating of God's Word is more important than anything else. Parents, teach your children that. And it shows up when it's ball games versus worshiping the Lord. You see, we don't need to be hypocrites. Talk about how important the Lord is, and the Lord is the main thing in my life, and the Lord is first in my life. And then homework, ball games, replace it. How great is your faith when that happens? Paul says, where Christ is, you seek things above, at the right hand of God. Heavenly things. John 14, Jesus makes it clear. He was going back to the Father. And He's going to come back and get us. Did you know that we could make the main thing of the main thing our life here and all the physical things that are going on? And probably when the Lord comes back, we're not going to want to go with Him. Because we have made all of this. We've set our mind to all of this. And over there, you're not going to be happy with it. That would be unimaginable, wouldn't it? That a person could not want to go to heaven. Can I say that one more time? It would be unimaginable that a person did not want to go to heaven. What I'm asking you to consider, do you want to go to heaven? And when are you going to start wanting to? And when is that going to be the main thing? That's what we're talking about. So what do we focus on? Nothing wrong with ball games. I love ball. Nothing wrong with eating. I love eating. But that's not the main thing. So Paul says, set your mind You direct your mind towards something. You understand or adopt a view. You have an intent, purpose, setting your mind. Sunday mornings, preacher's nightmare. Phone rings. Brother Salih? Yes. Where are you? What time is it? It's 10 o'clock. I'm still in the hotel. In my pajamas. And services are getting ready to start. That's a nightmare. Now I don't sleep to 10 o'clock. I can't sleep to 10 o'clock. I'd love to sometimes sleep to 10 o'clock. 5 or 6 o'clock, I'm wide open. But I tell you what, my internal clock goes off every morning by the same time, but I still set my alarm. And on Sundays, 2 alarms. You know why? I don't want to get that phone call. Where are you at? Scare me to death. 2 alarms. I make up my mind that I'm not going to be late to worship the Lord. I'm going to be here. Okay? I've set my mind on that. I've made up my mind about that. It ain't going to happen. Just one more quick reference to sports. Way back in the day, I played sports. And my parents told me they could care less about sports. They allowed me to play some sports. But this is what they said to me when I was going out the door. You tell that coach that you worship on Sunday and you go to Bible class on Wednesday night. The other times he can have you. But those times he can't have you. And if he don't like it, he can lump it. That was the rules. And I hated like everything telling my coach that. But I told him. And I didn't miss services because of the ball game. I talk to kids today about that, and they think I'm crazy. Well, you can't tell a coach that. You can't tell them when you come to practice or when you do this and when you do that. And I'm thinking, when did that rule change? Who changed that rule? I thought God Almighty was the one that we made an agreement with to put Him first regardless. And if a coach don't like it, he can lump it. Oh no, but I'm going to become a professional athlete. I've got to go. I've got to be there. Yeah, and you got to die and go to heaven or hell too. Make up your mind. Make up your mind what you want to do. To me, that sounds very simplistic. Very easy. But it is absolutely destroying so many of our homes. We need to wake up, brethren. Wake up. Set your mind. Setting our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul talked about that in Philippians chapter 3. Paul had to make some great changes in his life. He persecuted the church. Now he's an apostle. Has some major changes in his life. My guess is that some of you have come some pretty sordid backgrounds. I remember going to a gospel meeting one time and invited a man to go with me. He went with me, just become a Christian. Got to talking to him on the way, and he was quite a bit older than me. I asked him, I said, what did you used to do before you became a Christian? He kind of held his head down, and well, the first thing he did, he lit up a cigarette in my car. And I said, I'd really prefer you not to smoke. And it just hurt me like crazy to tell him that, but I don't like smoke. And so he put it out, and he was nice about it. Did I mention the fact that this was a big, ugly, strong-looking dude? So I said, what'd you do? He said, well,
tell you what I used to do. He said, I used to work for a criminal group. And he said, I was the guy that would go and make sure you paid what you owed and broke whatever's necessary to get the money. Okay. And I just told him to put out his cigarette. You know, that guy made up his mind that the road he was traveling was going the wrong way. He set his mind on something different. And he was forgiven through the blood of Christ. Sounds a lot like Paul. You need to set your mind, like you set a clock, to about what's right. And when that alarm goes off, don't turn it off and then go back to sleep. Get up and do what you got to do. Do you remember what the main thing is? Remind yourself every day, what's the main thing? Paul says, for you have died and your life is hidden. I like that. Concealed or protected. The fact that God protects His own. God cares for His own. God provides for His own. That doesn't mean that you won't get hungry. That doesn't mean that you might get cold. That doesn't mean that you won't be persecuted. That doesn't mean that you won't die. Because the protection that God offers you is not here and now physical. God doesn't promise you that you're going to have lots of money in the bank. God doesn't promise that you're always going to have health insurance. What He promises all of us is that regardless of what happens in this old life, over there where it counts, He'll save you. There are a lot of people that are thinking they're serving the Lord, and their motivation is the health and wealth idea that so many preachers are teaching today. And it's a false hope. People that are Christians still get cancer. Still have heart attacks. Have diabetes. And die from that sort of thing. God didn't promise you a physical body that never gets sick. But He promises you, He protects you and hides you from the devil, and promises you that you can spend eternity with Him in heaven. In Romans chapter 6, it's a great commentary. I'm not going to take the time to read it this morning because I'm afraid y'all are going to leave here in about 10 minutes. If you read Romans chapter 6, you will find that the whole process of us being buried with Him and walking, rising to walk in the newness of life is not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. Because if we are willing to die with Him, He will raise us up. And just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, when He comes again, we will be raised up to ever live with Him. That's the main thing. The late D. Bowman used to pretty regularly say, if you miss heaven, you've just missed all there is. And brethren, you need to set your mind that that's how you're going to live your life. I am not going to miss heaven. Noah is one of my favorite characters. He's just an amazing man of God. And here's why I respect, appreciate Noah. He did exactly what God told him to do. No ifs, ands, and buts. He did what God told him to do. But you know what else he did that was really great? He got his family on the boat. Here's the main thing. Husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, get your family on the boat. You missed the boat, you've missed it all. What does it take to get your family on the boat? You do it. What sacrifice would you make? Make it. Because that's the main thing. We're here to get on the boat. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then all you also will be revealed with Him in glory. He's your life. I hear sometimes in doing funerals and so forth for a spouse, the living will say something to that effect. They were my life. Understand that. I don't mean any disrespect. When you lost your spouse, they were your life. You're still living, ain't you? No disrespect, but perspective. Perspective is this. You lose Christ? Who is your life? You die eternally. Now who's your life? God is your source of life. Nobody else. I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me that lives anymore, but Christ. He lives in me. That's a mindset. We're all new creatures. Revealed with Him in glory. Any of you ever go through a graduation? Kindergarten? Middle school? High school? College? Some specialty program? How proud were you to receive that diploma? All that hard work. Can you imagine the praise, the honor, the glory to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come. Inherit what has been prepared from the foundations of the earth." I don't know about you. I've already been thinking about what I'm going to do when I go through the pearly gates. I'm going to hoot, holler, yahoo, I don't know if that's going to be appropriate. But if it's okay, I'm going to do that. You know why? Because I'm going to be really excited. I don't know if y'all Florida Gator fans or not. Did y'all do any hooting or hollering? Maybe some of you did, maybe some of you didn't. School I pulled for, they didn't win. I didn't do no hooting and hollering. But we've been there and done that several times. Hoot and hollered every time that I could. Do you realize that going to heaven, being there in the presence of God, can you even begin to imagine? We can't. It's beyond our imagination. It's more than we can comprehend. It's above all of our pay grade. But Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. That's what you need to set your mind on. Not the stock market prices. Those are important, but not essential. How much a gallon of gas is? Man, y'all a lot higher up here, down here than Alabama, I'll tell you that. What in the world? But guess what? Just money. In the whole scheme of things, the Lord is not going to say on the day of judgment, how much did you pay for a gallon of gas when you was living? Who cares? Don't mean nothing. But were you faithful to the Lord all of your life? Did you serve Him? Did you set your mind on things above? That'll be important. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So this morning, what this lesson is supposed to do for you, you need to set your mind. If you're going to read 10 chapters a day, and you're going to read the New Testament through, just the New Testament through, one time each month for 3 straight months, now what are you going to do with that information? You're going to make up your mind that going to heaven is the most important thing in your life. You're not going to miss services. You're not going to miss reading your Bible. You're not going to miss praying. You're not going to miss thinking about going to heaven. You're going to think about going to heaven. And you're still going to go to work. You're still going to go to bed and go to sleep. And you're going to eat. But everything you do, heaven's going to be the most important thing. Your faith will grow, and it will grow. And I hope at the end of that 3 months, you will start reading 20 chapters a day. I'm not going to have time to read 20 chapters. Make time. Because that's what you're about. Thank you for listening this morning. Here's a few notes. Maybe someone here this morning that's not a Christian. We want to encourage you to become a Christian. And if those notes look strange to you, you don't understand them, there any number of good people here would be glad to sit down and study and talk to you about that. But being baptized into Christ will wash away all your sins. If you've obeyed Christ, but you haven't lived the way you should, today would be a good day just to do what you got to do. Do what you know is right to do. And God will bless you. So, this morning we're going to sing as a matter of encouragement to you to be obedient to Christ. It's 11 o'clock. Let's stand and sing.